Hey there. Hi there. This is Nicole Falcone, and you are listening to Technicolored Glasses. This is the podcast where I talk about what I love to discuss most, film. And this season on the podcast, we are exploring one of the great years of film, 1994. The first episode of this season, we covered the Jim Carrey star maker, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. And before we get into this week's 1994 film, I just want to talk about something, and that something is this little HBO show called Succession. So I am one of the dozen people in the world who had not actually experienced this pop culture phenomenon, but just a little less than a month ago, after I finished my Oscar cramming, I finally decided to dive into this show that I have honestly been meaning to experience for quite some time now. I watched the pilot, and here we are, not even a month later, and I am 4 episodes away from the series finale. Like Kendall Roy, I am basically destroying myself for the sake of this fucking family. up all night, a zombie during the day, just trying to get through this binge of this amazing show. And of course, this is no surprise. Anyone who's seen it knows I had heard all about the phenomenal writing, acting. It's all true. So if you are one of the other, 11 people who have not seen the show, go ahead and do it, but be prepared to bow out of life for a while while you are just attempting to get through. And stop occasionally, I guess, if you have to do something with your life, which I unfortunately these days do. But outside of that, just be prepared to dunk your head on under the water again, just like Kendall, and embrace the oblivion, because that's where you're going to be with this show. So funny and dark, and you have to have a real special relationship with dysfunction and dysfunctional families to truly appreciate this show. Extraordinary, extraordinary stuff. Almost done. Can't wait. Gonna be in full-on withdrawal when it's over, but amazing. So that's where my headspace has been recently. Just FYI. Dysfunction Junction.
You're the number one trending topic ahead of Tater Tots, and the Pope followed you. Wow. Okay, no, this is not the... Is this the real...
Thanks, Greg. Okay, so back to the business at hand. 1994. Again, a great film year. Particularly special for me. I was 16 and immersed in film and pop culture. In a way that possibly was life-altering at the time, or at least cinema altering. So the film that we are talking about this time around is possibly the poster film for Generation X, of which I am, and featuring the king and queen, I would say, of Gen X. That would be Ethan Hawke and Winona Ryder, released on February 18th, 1994. I am, of course, speaking of the great defining film, defining of an era, Reality Bites.
And they wonder why those of us in our 20s refuse to work an 80-hour week just so we can afford to buy their BMWs. Why we aren't interested in the counterculture that they invented, as if we did not see them disembowel their revolution for a pair of running shoes. But the question remains, what are we going to do now? How can we repair all the damage we inherited? Fellow graduates, the answer is simple. The answer is... the answer is... I don't know.
So Reality Bites is the best Richard Linklater film that Richard Linklater never made. It takes place in Houston. Check stars Ethan Hawke. Check has a phenomenal soundtrack that lives on and on. Check. All of these are Richard Linklater earmarks, but this is not a Richard Linklater film. He had nothing to do with it. It was actually directed by Ben Stiller, who at the time was mostly known for The Ben Stiller Show. He ended up directing this and having a role in it. He was not originally supposed to, but that wound up transpiring. The film also stars Janine Garofalo, connected to Ben Stiller, of course, Steve Zahn, and, as I said, Winona Ryder, Ethan Hawke. There's also John Mahoney, Swizzy Kurtz, cameos from David Spade and Andy Dick and all sorts of folks. This film is defining of Gen X, so much so that it's it's almost too much, because one of the defining features of Generation X, or so I am told, is, well, the idea of the X. Generation X stands for nothing, supposedly. The idea of being fixated on or borrowing pop culture references and fashion and music from other generations, basically, is a big thing related to Gen X, and the film really, really captures that. There are so many references to pop culture from all different eras. We've got like Schoolhouse Rock and Good Times and Peter Frampton reference, just everything. And the Brady Bunch, just they reference things constantly, which, again, it's so much that it seems like maybe it's too much, like it's trying too hard. But for me, someone who, again, is of Gen X and is a massive connoisseur of pop culture in all of its eras and forms, and is known for constantly quoting and referencing to an annoying degree. This is me. This is Gen X. This is beautifully depicted in Reality Bites.
So Reality Bites was written by Helen Childress, and she based the screenplay basically off of herself and her friends. In fact, the character of Troy Dyer, played by Ethan Hawke, is based on someone whose name is actually Dyer. So who I believe that he wound up suing her, but that's a whole other whole other deal. But it's interesting because the film itself is about Lelaina Pierce, played by Winona Ryder, who has just graduated from college along with her pals. And they're a bunch of 20-somethings, like I said, fresh out of college, trying to figure out what the fuck they're doing with their lives. Various degrees, of course. Lelaina is a great student. She is valedictorian. She does a speech at the beginning that is very endearing, because basically she loses her notes and just kind of wings it with a statement that means nothing, pretty much, but gets applause, which sets up basically the whole dynamic of this film. But she is a hard worker, seemingly prepared, but completely unprepared. Just going to show that this generation is basically screwed no matter what. If she is the successful one, the hard worker, the one who is trying to be prepared, and she can't get it together, we're all fucked. That's basically the idea. And honestly, it makes her incredibly identifiable. And she is a fledgling documentarian. She's been filming her friends. She wants to do something with this documentary. She wants to change the world, basically. But she works at a television station for an asshole played by John Mahoney, who he's so great. He was so great. Apparently a really lovely person, but played dicks beautifully, and this is no exception. So yeah, basically she's not making tons of money, and she's just trying to, you know, be something in a world that is not terribly friendly to people who want to be something. And she is just, you know, doing her best, but that tends to fall short. Meanwhile, her best friend and will they or won't they love interest, Troy Dyer, played by Ethan Hawke, is in a band. He dropped out of college just short of a philosophy degree. You know, he's basically that that guy. That guy. Very specific of Gen X, but in any generation, right? Just to a different type of description, I suppose. But basically the same guy. An incredibly intelligent and creative, a slacker who is incapable of emotion, and who basically is your worst nightmare, but who you can't help but be wildly attracted to, which, of course, Lelaina is. Even though they have been friends forever, they clearly want to sleep together. They're clearly in love with each other. And, I mean, that's sort of the driving force of the film. She has a relationship with Michael, played by Ben Stiller, who is basically a 20,
something yuppie, and maybe is a little more grown up, has more drive theoretically, but that's debatable. And though I have watched the special features, which I completely recommend, there's an anniversary edition of this DVD that has special features. And Ben Stiller in it talks about the fact that both of these guys, Troy and Michael, in this love triangle with Lelaina, that they're both likable guys. You can't decide who you want her to be with. That's complete bullshit. You want her to be with Troy. Even though he's probably like the worst possible thing for her. She's way too good for him. But all of us, you know, at that time, and honestly, still, we're programmed to really dig this deep, emotionally unavailable guy who, with a heart of gold and a troubled past, his father is dying, he, you know, doesn't want to just become a cog in the machine. And to tell you the truth, not only do I still find that attractive, but I identify with it. But there is plenty of argument that she should have wound up with Michael. I personally think she probably just should have ended up with no one and gone and done her own thing, because she is just fine on her own. But blah, blah, blah. The truth is that's what the movie's about. These lost people and their connections and finding each other. And, you know, that includes Troy and Lelaina. And honestly, yeah, who's that really hurting? Except for an entire generation of women who, you know, were programmed to believe that this type of fella was really, you know, romantic, as opposed to an abusive, emotionally abusive, withholding jackass. But I digress. I do just want to throw in a little disclaimer here real quick. I am actually at a public library conference out of town, so I am in a hotel. All in all, the acoustics are good, but you are likely hearing a little like mood music in the back. That is completely out of my control. Just sit back and enjoy it. Just FYI. Speaking of music, there's a setup for you. The Reality Bites soundtrack is iconic. It's still probably one of my favorite soundtracks, movie soundtracks. It is very well known for Lisa Loeb, Stay. Lisa Loeb was she friends with Ethan Hawke? She was either friends with him, or because he was in a band for real. He's in a band in the movie, but he actually like sings for real. Maybe she was a neighbor. Oh gosh, I don't know. I should just do my research. But in any case, she wound up on the soundtrack because of her connection to Ethan Hawke. And just a little side note, Lisa Loeb's Stay was the first song that I ever sang solo at karaoke. So special there as well. But the soundtrack features her as well as Ethan Hawke, who in the film, he is part of a band called, what is it? Hey, That's My Bike is the name of the band, which is an exceptional name. But he actually sings. And let's see. Oh, the Knack, of course, doing My Sharona, which is in the very pivotal scene in the convenience store where they're all dancing to My Sharona, really brought that song to the forefront. And yeah, I mean, it's an iconic scene, and the soundtrack is just super swell. Also, going back to the special features on the DVD, they talk about how Janine Garofalo originally, the studio didn't really want her. Winona Ryder really went to bat for her, as well as for Ethan Hawke. Thank you, Winona Ryder. Not only did you help to really cement Janine Garofalo and Ethan Hawke into our lives and our movie screens, but you have done oh so very much more for all of us, Gen X and beyond. I mean, everybody bow to Winona Ryder, right? But interestingly, actually, the character that Janine Garofalo played, Vicky Miner, great character. Originally, they wanted, or at least it was highly possible that it would go to a pretty much unknown at the time, Gwyneth Paltrow, which, no disrespect to Gwyneth Paltrow, but I don't see it. Janine Garofalo. All the way, thank goodness. And yeah, just all sorts of interesting little tidbits like that. And also, if you look up a video of Winona Ryder giving Ethan Hawke an award, I believe it was, I don't remember what the awards were, might have been the Gotham Awards, but it was in 2019, I believe. She gave him a special award, and she speaks really, really beautifully about him. It's lovely. And then when he goes up there, he basically credits her with his career because of her going to bat for him. So it's a love fest. It's great. And Reality Bites. So when it came out, it was definitely a success. I remember going and seeing it in theater with my best bud. And it did well. Critically, it was, you know, it wasn't panned, but it wasn't like a slam dunk. Didn't really matter, but I wouldn't disagree. I mean, it's not necessarily a masterpiece, but it is to me. it's one of those that obviously I can see its flaws and its shortcomings, but it's so enjoyable and it's so era defining and just a essential 1994 film. And honestly, it is one of my go-to movies as far as like a comfort film. It is definitely one of the films that I will just throw on and can always have on, and it's comforting and wonderful, and I love it, and I know many, many other people love it as well. If you have not ever seen Reality Bites, of course I would recommend watching it. Although I would say that watching it now, probably isn't going to hit the same. Probably going to notice all of the downsides to it that I've touched upon. Whereas if you saw it at that time, and if you are of that time, it's probably going to be more meaningful. But as far as a time capsule goes for the 90s, for Gen X, it is an absolutely stellar time capsule film. So if you're wanting to take a look at that era, Reality Bites is totally for you. But also, it's just a good time with a really great cast, dealing with just, what it is to be in your 20s, trying to figure out what the hell you're doing. I mean, that's timeless. That's always going to be relevant. And Elena said it best when referring to needing to save up enough money to get your own place. She says, that's the American dream of the 90s. That could take years. Still relevant, I think. Great line. One of my favorite film lines of all time, for sure. Okay, that is Reality Bites. I am going to settle back in to this hotel room, try and find Reality Bites, perhaps, or Succession. Same diff, right? A bunch of fuck-ups trying to figure out life. Aren't we all? Okay, so
Technicolor Glasses is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please, please rate, review, subscribe, spread the word. Thank you so much for listening. You can also check out my website on Substack, CinePhem, CinePhemme, up there on Substack, writing about film. And you can also catch me on Instagram at CinePhem or on Blue Sky at CinePhem. Thank you for listening. And next time, we are going to continue films of 1994, and we are going to talk about a very dry, British, wonderful romantic comedy made Hugh Grant part of the conversation. Come on back and listen to that. Talk at you later.
I was told there'd be no math in this exam.